First King, chapter 8:20-53. This is a prayer when Solomon prayed to dedicate the holy temple. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spreading out his hands towards heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hands you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promise you have made to him when you said, You shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel. If only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me as you have done. And now, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord, my God. Hear the cry and the prayer of your servants is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be opened toward this temple night and day. This place of which you said, My name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servants prays towards this place. Hear the supplication of your servants and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When a man wrongs his neighbor and is required to take an oath, and he comes and swears the oath before your altar in the temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and bringing down on his own head what he has done. Declare the innocent not guilty, and so establish his innocence. When your people Israel has been defeated by an enemy because we have sinned against you, and may they turn back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward you this place, confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famines or plague comes to the land, or blitz or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of the cities, where whatever disaster and disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the afflictions of his own heart and spreading out his hands toward this temple. Then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive and act, deal with each man according to all he does, since you know the hearts, for you alone knows the hearts of all men, so that they will fear you all the time they live in the land you gave our fathers. As for the foreigners who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name. For men will hear your great name and your mighty hands and your outstretched arm. When he comes and pray towards this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do whatever the foreigner asked of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your land, your name, and fear you as they do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. When your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there's no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive to his own land, far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their conqueror and say, "We have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly." And if they turn back to you with all their hearts and soul in the land of their enemies who took them captive, and pray to you toward the land you gave their fathers, toward this city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses they have committed against you, and cause their conquerors to show them mercy. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought us out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. May your eyes be opened to your servant's plea, and to the plea of your people Israel, and may you listen to them whenever they cry out to you. For you singled them out of all the nations of the world to be your own inheritance, just as you declared through your servant Moses, when you, O sovereign Lord, brought our fathers out of Egypt. These are the words of God. We are privileged to have Pastor Bruce Lowe to preach for us today, especially during our mission months. Pastor Bruce Lowe has a very interesting background, and I'm going to quickly read this introduction. He lives in Toronto, Ontario, with his wife Florence and son Josiah. He graduated from Tyndale Seminary with a Master of Divinity in Intercultural Study and Global Missions. Bruce was born and raised in Henan Province and worked with a top international Chinese export-import company before moving to Canada in 2001. In 2012, right after graduating from Tyndale Seminary, Bruce had joined Partners International, a 70-year mission organization who launched 1040 Windows Mission Movement. Whether on the Mekong River, in the foothills of the Tanguillas, or at home in Canada, I might add, he also traveled to different parts, like Pakistan, Middle East. Bruce is pursuing his ambition to exercise life as an adventure by making himself available to God, however and wherever he leads. That path directs Bruce and Florence's work for missions and church organizations locally and globally in years, where Bruce's passion grew to empower local vision for mission through the holistic ministry approach. As the area director of East and Southeast Asia for Partners International Canada, Bruce managed a network of a group of international partnerships weighted towards the hardest and darkest contests in that region. Bruce often is invited to speak at churches and mission conferences about missions. His desire is to find and grow extraordinary partnerships with indigenous-led ministries to bring transformation to the least reached and least resourced place of the world, and mobilize Chinese churches to get involved into world missions for his kingdom. So we are glad to have Bruce to preach to us. Thank you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning. Thank you for Pastor Ming's introduction. Myself, I try my best to travel a lot in different countries, regions in the world. But funny thing is, I have no sense of direction, so I'm so easily to get lost, even in Toronto. I've been here for 17 years. I still got lost easily. So I was a little bit lost this morning on Highway 7. Honestly, I live in Markham. From Markham to Brampton, actually just Highway 7. But part of Highway 7 was blocked this morning. I was a little panicked. I have no idea, should I turn right, should I turn left? How could I turn wrong? But my GPS, I use GPS all the time in Toronto, not in other countries, just in Toronto. So I was using my GPS, but my GPS all the time guides me turn wrong back to Highway 7, but that part was blocked totally. So I was so panicked, I turned wrong, still to the place I is blocked. So I was, Lord, how could, get me out of here. I need to go to the church to speak. I'm almost late. But later on, I did try another way. Just don't look at my GPS. Just drive through. I don't know where I'm driving. Anyway, just keep going, and later on use GPS, turn back to the part of the Highway 7 and to be here. So I was late 5 minutes as I planned. Lord's is good. Oh, well, in our life, people like me, or people like you, we need a GPS. Sometimes we need a GPS in our life. We need some guidance. We need some direction to guide us where we're going to. We want to go to the right direction in our life. But in the real life, even the GPS sometimes make mistakes. Most of the time to me, my GPS doesn't make sense to me. Even GPS in our life made mistakes. However, there is only one GPS. Never make mistake in your life. It's our spiritual GPS. I really appreciate sister this morning used the short used the letter to explain salvation. Wonderful, great. We should do this not every Sunday, every day of our life. Salvation, what does really salvation stand for? It's a great reminder. But what does GPS stand for? Let's do the test. What's the GPS, spiritual GPS for? What's the G for? God, amen, God, or, yeah, God. What's P for? P. Yeah, you did a great job this morning. Try another test. What's the, it's your time to be tested. What's the P for? Prayer, good. But remember, we need a spiritual GPS and get us to go travel in the right direction in our life. So P, we can use P as plan. What's S for? Salvation. You just had this morning. GPS, spiritual GPS, God's plans of salvation. I think that's the only GPS, spiritual GPS we need for our life. Earthly GPS, all the time, sometimes get you wrong, sometimes get you wrong. Like this morning, what happened this morning, but the GPS, spiritual GPS, never got a mistake. You never got lost in God's plans of salvation. So look for your spiritual GPS whatever you feel lost, or whenever you need to find out what's the real right direction in your life, look at this spiritual GPS. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, come to your house. We worship you. Lord, talk to us. Quiet our heart. Let us be still to know you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's my honor and privilege to share the word of God with you this morning. Thank Pastor Ming the introduction about myself. Well, I full-time serve with the mission organization called Partners International. You might know this organization because it's not my first time at the church. Actually, I'm one of the missionaries your church support since last year. Thank you so much. I would love to come to give you more report later on. Partners International is a mission organization of 70 years in global missions. We primarily focus on 1040 window, this region. 1040 windows was developed by our U.S. office, the CEO, back in 1990s. His name is a missionary, wonderful missionary, a great mission leader. His name is Louis Bush. You might heard of this name, Louis Bush, wonderful missionary. So, 1040 windows. How many of you have ever heard of 1040 windows in mission? Oh, not many. Thank you. That's not many. 1040 windows. Young brothers and sisters, I really, really encourage you to find out what is 1040 window today. Because this is not only about other generation, the missions, it's about you today. So basically, 1040 windows is in the world map, it's a rectangular area of North Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, between 10 degrees, 10 degrees latitude, and also 40 degrees north latitude. So the 1040 windows. I have to apologize if I cough. The cough is in my body for almost a year. I was getting a little better, but when weather changed, my cough comes back. Because I probably talk too much. I need to take a break later on. Not this month. This month is mission month. Need to talk about missions. That's what we're doing today. So the 1040 windows, why it's very, very important in the global missions today. 1040 windows is also called the resistant belt. Include the majority of the world Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. It is also the general area that was purported to have the highest level of socioeconomic challenges and least access to the Christian message and Christian resources in this world. So next slide, I tell you it's a general information about 1040 window. Remember this, 1040 window is the home to some of the largest unreached people group in this world. And 1040 window is the home to the majority of the world unevangelized countries. And 1040 window contains four of the world dominant religion blocks. Like I said, Muslim, Hinduism, Buddhism, and now other religions. And 1040 window is the place they don't welcome missionaries, pastors, and Christians to their region. So we Partners International, we partner and work with the local team. Local team means in India, we work with the Indian mission force. In China, we work with the church in China, majority is house church in China, to do evangelism and develop local community, eventually plant a church. So we support the local team. We train the workers, the missionaries, and provide resources, also cares. I just came back from Middle East, Egypt. We had a very first missionary care in Middle East, Cairo. This missionary care is for the missionaries, Chinese missionaries, were sent out from church in China to Middle East. They're serving seven countries across Middle East and North Africa. It's the Chinese missionaries from mainland China. That's the 1.5 generation of the mission movement in China. But this dream, this vision was launched back in 1920s. The dream and the vision, the passion and the burden for church in China to grab the mission all over China and to other countries is back to 1920s. But it's many, many years later today, not many Chinese missionaries in other countries to do the cross-cultural missions. It's so hard, not easy to young church in China in missions. It's not easy. Missionaries facing a lot of challenges in the field, not only resources, hurting, challenges, even sometimes from their home church. So I won't tell the details, but that conference, we provide not only the care for them, counseling, some missionaries got bad depression, even I even have to say this way, even some of them, they try to even kill themselves. Some of them, they don't think they will continue their mission work in the mission field. So please, brothers and sisters, when we talk about missions in the church, you're sitting there, you're sitting there, you're celebrating, and you're raising fund. One more thing, you cannot miss. Pray. Believe me, to me, I think what the mission needs is not money, it's not resources, it's not a missionary care package you send from church to the mission field. It's your prayer. Prayer is the fundamental resource of the missions. When we talk about missions, I really hope you can understand and believe that prayer is the first step in any missions. As a matter of fact, the most people I know who have been called into the missions is the people of prayer. As a matter of fact, as I know, any effective missions happening here or over there is because of the prayer from the brothers and the sisters. It doesn't matter what kind of missions, or it doesn't matter what kind of ministries they do. Sometimes we do teaching, we do medical service, we do a caring ministry, we do business as mission, we even do sports. Like Cambodia, we do a soccer ministry, play soccer. But there is one common thing all missionaries and church do is they pray. So I see many people are so touched and excited about knowing missions, even especially younger generation. They want to do some mission, they want to go to mission field to serve, they even want to study missions and doing missions. But if you read the history of the Christianity, the history of missions, sooner or later you will realize what you read actually is the history of prayer. Sooner or later you will realize all calling and actions in missions started from prayer. I really want you to think about prayer seriously today from now on, seriously. Because in today's fast food culture, we really want to do things quickly, trying to do something easily, try to take some quick actions. People today is so practical and so pragmatic, I have to say this way, and very goal-oriented. Most of the time, people rely on their own power, wisdom, desire, and try to find an easy way to make things down, even in our faith community, our church. So we spend a lot of time to take actions, but really, really small time, little time in prayer. Remember this, prayer is the power of the missions. Without prayer, Sorry. I try to stay away from the mic. Remember this, prayer is the power of missions. Without prayer, we do mission to nowhere. If we study carefully and seriously about the book of Luke and the book of Acts, carefully and seriously, we will definitely see the primary theme in both books clearly. It's about prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, in which we see the miraculous work of God in two books. And another one, one is Holy Spirit, another one is prayer. Demonstrate that there is direct relationship between man's prayer and God's Holy Spirit. Book of Luke and the book of Acts. That's the book of Holy Spirit and also the book of prayer. Pray, pray, pray. So why prayer is so important? Why do we need to pray? What shall we pray? Whom do we pray for? That's all the questions we need to really ask. And these questions actually from the Bible words, long Bible verse we Pastor Ming the reading this morning, this very long passage. I'm not going to read again because that's really long, but it's the beautiful, beautiful prayer. I do suggest and also encourage you to recite this prayer in your heart. You can even, if you don't know how to do the prayer for missions, for your church, even for yourself and for others, learn this prayer from Solomon. This is the missional prayer for sure. I'm not saying Solomon is the missionary, but this prayer of him, his prayer is definitely the mission, is the missional prayer. Before we go to the context, let me recite American pastor, also missionary, his name is A.T. Pearson. He once said, "There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locally that did not begin in united prayer." It's beautiful, beautiful comment, and it's the beautiful, beautiful statement on prayer in missions. Remember this. There's no spiritual awakening in any country without a united prayer from the faith community. So, we do a lot of missions. Remember this, prayer is also mission. We do business as mission, sports as mission. Prayer also can be used as a mission. Prayer as mission. Without prayer, no mission work. So in today's message, we will look at the prayer of Solomon, or Solomon's prayer is the book of the First King, chapter 8, 22-53. Beautiful prayer. We said this. As you know very well, this is Solomon's prayer of dedication to the Holy Temple. I'm not going to explain verse by verse today. That's a really long verse. I'm not going to explain in details, but I really invite you to learn something about mission and prayer from this context of this prayer of Solomon. Basically, there are three questions we are asking, and there are three questions we are going to reflect through. First one, why do we pray? Oh, by the way, the background is Solomon built the holy temple for the Lord, and we call it House of God. He took 13 years to build his palace, but he spent 7 years to build the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord, the holy temple, is for the people of Israel to come together to worship, to provide, to give sacrifice in their worship service in the temple and give glory to God. And remember this, it's not God himself, but God's name is dwelled in this temple. The holy temple represents God's name and God's presence. The people of God were called, come together and to worship him and to give sacrifice before God in this holy temple, the holy temple. In Solomon's time, it was holy temple. In our time, what's the place we come together to worship God? So in Old Testament, that's the holy temple, built big one. So in today, what's the place we come together to worship God? Church. Church is not a building. This will be the theme I'm going to speak Chinese congregation later on. The church is not a building. Church, the people called by God, separated from the world to Him and worship Him. That's the church. Church means you and me. It's not about building. It's about the people around the God. Whenever we come to the Lord to worship Him, this is the church. In Pakistan, I know you have Pakistan congregation. I joined them a couple of times. In Pakistan, we had a gathering. The Muslim background believers, they came together. We had a secret meeting. We just had a small room, and they came from different mountains. Travel 2 days, 3 days to be there. We shut the door, we shut the curtain, and we had a worship. Before they came in, they washed their hand, washed the face, touched ear, neck, and did some prayer in this way. It's not Christian way, it's the Muslim way. So in that moment, I'm thinking, hey, I was I in a church, or was I in a mosque? Definitely in the church, because they are believers. When they come together, we worship. That's the church. So it doesn't matter we have church building or not. Okay. So first one, why do we pray? Why do we pray? Simple question. Why do we pray? Answer is easy. Why do we pray? Because this unbelieving, hurting world needs our prayer. We pray because God promised He is the God who answers our prayer. In the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, Apostle Paul tells us, the world blinds people's eyes. The God, the small g, of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So in the New Testament, we have another term of to understand this is we are lost. Reflect the Paul's, the word, the Bible words, we are lost, even dead. So Paul continued to say the responsibility of believers is to proclaim the name of Jesus, the only name to share the gospel, the good news, to tell the world Jesus is the Lord. So when we are doing this, God Himself will work in us first, then work through us to give out His message, to plant, to water. When it's time, God will harvest by Himself. When God is doing it, the result will be all knees bow down and all tongues will confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the center of the missions. This is the mission. That's why we pray. The mission is not what we do for God, to God. Mission is what God has done in Christ on the cross already. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This is why we pray. And prayer is a reflection of the faith in God. God, hear our prayer. We pray to God for the work of salvation among us. So in missions, we pray. And in our prayer, we ask many, many things. Sometimes we pray for resources. Sometimes we pray for manpower. Sometimes we pray for money. And sometimes we pray for other stuff. But sometimes we forgot or miss something we should pray in our prayer. But there is one thing you cannot miss at all, is the mission, is the name of the Jesus, is the name of Jesus. That's the only name. That's the name above all names, like Solomon said. So that's why we pray. Why we pray? The world needs our prayer. Why we pray? God hear our prayers, and God will answer our prayers. That's why we need to pray. Mission is not what we want to do for God. Mission is what Jesus Christ has done already on the cross. The second question is, whom do we pray for? We pray for the needs of the broken world a lot. In Solomon's prayer, he even prayed in a very specific way. In verse 31, he prayed for the justice among legally conflict. Verse 33, the people of Israel defeated by the enemies was listed in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 25. There's another one. As one of the curse, you disobey the Lord, you got punishment because of your disobedience. Israel disobeyed the covenant with God, so punishment comes after their disobedience. So Solomon prayed the people of Israel, come back to God, come back, turn back to God, and repent before God, and God will take them back to him. So then later on, the verse 35 to 37, Solomon prays for the disaster from the nature, from people, from the war. The Solomon prays, God has mercy and grace on the people. Forgive their sins, mercy on them. So what's happening in this world today? Indonesia, we have wonderful ministry in Indonesia. They are sent a team to the area was hit by tsunami just happened two weeks ago. How many people died? It's over 15,000. It's over 1,500, right? 1,500. But this is only, you see the body. Many, you won't see the body anywhere. So they are sending a team to there. Horrible. The local team sent the video to us. It's horrible. Pray. May God have mercy on them. In the Middle East, in Syria, in Lebanon, when we work with the refugees, they share their story to us. Honestly, when they're sharing to us, in my heart, deep down in my heart, I could, Lord, what can I do? What can we do for them? They lost everything. Relatives, land, house, money, job, family, lost everything. They run away. Nothing. Just crying. When we ask them, what do you hope your children do? They're crying because they have no hope. They're just crying. I was so sorry I asked that question. It's really, really stupid. I shouldn't have asked the question. Of course, we try to bring the topic about hope to them. But honestly, deep down in my heart, Lord, what do we do for them? What can we do for them? But later on, I realize, at least, brothers and sisters, the one thing you can do is you pray for this broken world, the suffering people in this world. And you pray for their suffering, and you pray for their situation. I don't know what's the end, but God knows. So the third question is, third lesson we learn from Solomon's prayer is, whom do we pray for? It's really clear, we pray for those people in the suffering. Like the Bible said, strangers, outsiders, they are not people of Israel. They are not the children of God. Pray for them. They need the salvation. They need what we just said this early morning, salvation. We pray for people who need salvation. Pray for you. Pray for them. Pray for the people around you. Pray for the Pakistani congregation at your church. Pray for the people in your community. Just pray for them. That's not much we can do, but that's the only thing. That's the thing we can do. Before we close, I know time's almost up. Okay, let me recite. Brother, let's go down to the one quotation from Hudson Taylor. Go down. The okay. Oh wait, stay there. The yep. Go up. Before one. Yep. Okay. This is Hudson Taylor, the greatest missionary in China. It's on June 25th, 1865. It's a Sunday. He was struggling. He ran away from the church and walk on the seaside. And he wrote, later on he wrote in his journal, unable to bear the sight of a congregation of the house of thousands or more Christian people rejoicing their own security, while millions were perishing for the lack of knowledge, I wandered out on the sand alone in great spiritual agony, and there the Lord conquered my belief. I surrendered myself to God for his service. I told him that all the responsibility as to issue and the consequence must rest with him, that as his servant, it was mine to obey and to follow him, his to direct, to care for, and to guide me those who might labor with me. This is Hudson Taylor's prayer. This is a prayer of mine as well. And I pray this prayer of Hudson Taylor, this can also be your prayer. Brothers and sisters, when we rejoice in the wonderful moment, the weather, the freedom here, don't forget other people, believers, non-believers, the suffering, persecuted in this suffering and broken world. Let's pray. May God bless us and help us. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. Nothing more we really to do is to pray. Pray at the house of the Lord, to pray as the holy temple, to pray for the people who are suffering in this world, who need salvation, who need it today, who need right now. We pray for the people around us. May Lord, you send your angel, send your mission force, send us to share the good news to them and to share the salvation to them, because this is your will and this is your promise. Teach us to how to pray, and let us be the people, the person of the prayer. Pray all the time. In Jesus' name pray. Amen. May God bless you, and pray we all become the person of prayer. Thank you.
So we're going to sing the doxology at the end. That was a very good message, Pastor Lo. I definitely think that gives us a lot to think about in terms of what we can do to help ensure that more people know Christ. So yeah, let's switch over to doxology. Please rise. Doxology slide, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.